DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
One of the questions, of course, that Patrick's Day brings up is how welcoming we are as a nation. And of course, next week is European Action Week against racism. And it raises the questions about where we stand on the spectrum of welcome or racism. Joining me now is Mamobo Ogoro, who is a Nigerian-Irish social psychologist, social entrepreneur, and founder of Gurum Media. And Mamobo, maybe you might just first of all explain what Gurum Media is.
Yeah, so thanks a million, Anton, for having me on your show. And just to talk a bit about what Gurum is, we're a social enterprise, and our whole mission is to unify across differences or bridge across differences. So that kind of came about from my experiences growing up in Ireland. I moved to Ireland when I was 3 years old as a Nigerian person, migrant family. And from those experiences growing up in rural Ireland, was not the best. There's good and positives, and there's also bad. There was xenophobia, there was racism. And it kind of led me into the world of understanding human behavior, and particularly understanding prejudice. And prejudice is, I like to call it, the mother of all the isms and the phobias. So my own background and research as a social psychologist led me to the world of understanding prejudice. And what I found was that when it came to combating racism, when it came to combating xenophobia, anti-migrant hate, etc., a lot of times in Ireland, where we look at, let's say, the institutional level, which is hugely essential to look at those institutional policy level, but then on a human to human level, on a practice level, we're really missing that engagement and that dialogue between communities. In order to break down prejudice, in order to break down racism, in order to break down the divides between communities on a human to human level, there needs to be that interaction, there needs to be that dialogue, there needs to be a sense of bridging between communities. And that's how Gurum sort of started. We started off in engaging in community conversations between people of different backgrounds, different cultural heritages, different races, identities, whatever, so those communities could bridge across differences and really take action against racism, as you can call it, and more as well.
You described your own experience growing up as mixed, that there were positives and that there were negatives. Can you give us a sense of both?
Yeah, so I was, like, my nickname growing up was called Jaga Jaga, in which in Nigerian dialect means like just all over the place, chaotic. So I was a bit of one of those children that you couldn't keep in one place. So that experience as being that child kind of led me to being sort of a talkative child, really outgoing with people. And I had really great relationships, really great role models of Irish teachers who really helped me see the light in my own personality. But as a migrant family growing up in rural Ireland in the late 90s, early 2000s, there's a lot of misunderstandings as it came to what it meant being a migrant family, or what it meant being from a Black heritage or Black identity. So those experiences of, let's say, being left out as a child, obviously that really impacts you, being left out or people throwing things at your house because you're a migrant family or things like that, it really, especially as a child, it really leaves you to understand yourself in a very different...
Are you using that as a sort of an expression or a reality? Did people throw things at your house?
Yeah, there were times where people would throw things. We grew up in not the best of days. And there are times where people would throw things at our house, and there are times where people I would walk home from school and people would be shouting things at me and things like that. So those experiences really led me to really dig deep in myself and try to understand, okay, why I didn't see myself as anything different towards anyone else. So I really looked deep into myself and asked why, which kind of led me into this world of understanding prejudice on a higher level.
And what answer did you come up with? Because for a little girl who's just trying to come home from school to be subject to that kind of thing, it must be utterly inexplicable.
It on some level, it's kind of traumatic as well. And you can hear that when you go back to Dr. Ebbon's research as well, you can see and hear the stories of other people as well. And the reason is that lack of understanding. And I know we can go back and forth in terms of asking ourselves, is Ireland racist or is Ireland welcoming as well? But I think on a deeper level, on a human to human level, it's that lack of understanding the people from different categories, quote unquote, or other categories. So once you really understand the human story that even goes beyond racism, that goes beyond what's on the surface level, their skin identity or whatever, you really understand the human element of that individual. And there we can break down prejudice.
But from my own experience, I would have assumed, Mova, that when you were growing up, the fact that you were in school with a lot of the kids in the community, does that not break down those barriers? Do they not see you as an equal and as a peer? It seems strange that that wouldn't happen organically.
It would happen. It depends. My own experience is different to everybody else's experience. So I can't speak for everybody else, but my own experience, because at the time it was like, it wasn't as normal to have a very culturally or ethnically diverse classroom. I can speak for myself, like I said. So I was one, like, for example, in secondary school, I was one of three Black people in a school of like 800. So it was a bit different in terms to when I'm comparing it to my, let's say, nieces and nephews. So it's, at that time, let's say, it was a bit of like, there wasn't the, and I wouldn't say people need to give an effort, but in terms of understanding people beyond, let's say, their skin color, beyond their cultural heritage, at that time, it wasn't really there, you know?
And what have you seen change in the period since you were in school? Have things become better or have things become worse?
I would say on both sides, right? So when it comes to like the school and the young adults area, I would say it has improved vastly. I am sometimes envious of my nieces and nephews as they're in their classroom, because it's just norm. Children these days see it as something normal. It's not really a thing that children have to think of. But when we go beyond the schools and we go beyond, and of course, teachers still need help today in terms of how to combat where there is situations of racism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, etc. But when we go beyond the classroom, that's where I like to say adults are children in themselves. When we go beyond the classroom, that's where it gets a lot more difficult, as you're seeing now when it comes to Islamophobia, when it comes to anti-migrant asylum seekers, etc. in Ireland, there's a lot of hate that is really, really being put out there within adults. So I believe there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of people understanding first and foremost the experiences of people in these communities and between communities as well. We need to understand each other on both levels. So that's where the world of bridging comes into play, and where we can unify across our differences, you know?
Have you got concerns from what you've seen in the last 18 months to 2 years around things like the reaction to migrants coming into different communities? I mean, we've seen, 11, 12 separate arson attacks on properties that were to be used by migrants. Does that have an effect on the experience of those of colour in the country?
Hugely, hugely, hugely. So even on our platform that we engage with migrant communities, we have access programs for such communities to enter into the workforce, particularly the media industry. We've heard stories of people being just fearful, just absolutely fearful of even going into Dublin City or even engaging with certain industry because of what's going on in the wider society. And I think that what had happened, let's say, over in the last 18 months was a result of a lack of, from my own background as a psychologist, a lack of intercultural engagement between communities. Yes, there's been a lot of, let's say, underlying work that's been done to engage migrant communities, housing, etc. But when it comes to the communities, the local communities on the ground with the migrant communities, there's a lack of intercultural communication between both communities. When people of different backgrounds are put together, I always say with diversity comes division. And if we don't have intercultural engagement and communication, there will be friction. There will be conflict. There will be misunderstanding. So on a human to human level, we need to actually create pathways and ways for communities between each other and within each other to engage positively, so we can break down those prejudices. But when it comes to engaging with people on the ground, with who we're working with, people of color, people of migrant backgrounds, a lot of them are fearful of what the future is going to hold.
And presumably that's made more difficult when you have flashpoint issues like housing. It is one thing to try to get community to community engagement and interrelationships developed when there are no pressure points. But when there is a perception, right or wrong, that limited resources are going to one set when the other believes it should go to them, that has to make it more difficult.
It does. It does. You're dead right that it makes it much more difficult. But if there's no engagement, first and foremost, to have that dialogue between communities, then how is the problem going to be solved? That's my question. So right now I'm seeing that there's very little engagement between communities for, and of course, one community is hurt, one community feels like they're not being misunderstood. That's where we need that mediation in between so we can have that intercultural interactions.
Mamoba, before I let you go, what's your plan for Patrick's Day?
My plan for Patrick's Day is to, right now, I'm literally getting ready to go to the parade with friends. And go watch it myself and then go home, have a pint and relax. That's my plan.
I tell you what, you want to get a shift on. It's just kicking off in about 25 minutes.
I know, I'm literally heading to the dark right now.
Mamoba, thank you very much for the time this morning. That is Mamoba Ogoro, who is Nigerian-Irish social psychologist, social entrepreneur and founder of Gurum Media.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.